The next case is 1552 Cincinnati Bar Association versus Timothy Fisher. Let's wait till I call on you, please. The counsel wants to take notes on your argument, probably, so. Okay, Mr. Berlew.
May it please the court, Mr. Chief Justice. I took a long time in deciding how to present this matter to you. It's a very simple issue. Although we have a lawyer here, and it's alleged there's a theft offense, the owner of the property and the record indicates this, never wanted to prosecute the case the first time. Never wanted to prosecute the second time, but we're presented with a number of procedural issues that I think they're taxed to their maximum. In this case, this matter was presented for hearing on one day. The relator indicated to the hearing panel that we cannot go forward and we cannot make our case. And the hearing officer said that if you cannot meet your burden of proof, this matter will be dismissed with prejudice. What happened in the second panel who heard this case after a refiling a year later, after the original panel was disbanded, could not correct its own entry. The original panel indicated that there was a voluntary notice of dismissal. There is no such document in the record of this or any other case. Certainly pursuant to 41A, relator may have been able, although it conflicts with the law, to file a voluntary notice of dismissal. What is alleged to be that is a document that's captioned entry of dismissal with signature lines for the original panel, which they declined to sign. They executed their own document, which was an entry of dismissal signed by the panel members, and it indicates this was for lack of prosecution. It did not otherwise indicate that it is without prejudice. Therefore, under the rules and every scheme of statutory construction, it is with prejudice. This case is really that simple. No matter how you look at the documents, they are what they are. They say what they say. We are guided and instructed by this court weekly as to how a panel or court speaks. It speaks to its docket and journal entries. The journal entries do not say otherwise in this particular case. The case is complicated even further by just the silence in this particular record. On August 5th or so, the matter was dismissed. 1 year later, no new investigation, no new evidence, no anything of merit. It is simply re-prosecuted. Relator could have done a number of things. If these documents, particularly the panel's entry of dismissal, was not correct, they could have reformed or requested to reform that entry. They have never done so. They never have done so even after this issue was raised with the second panel. We're saying that there is no notice of dismissal filed in this case. What is there is a document captioned entry, and it has not been reformed. There has been no attempt to reform, and there's been no real explanation of why it was done this way. We cited a number of cases, both of us have, but in the cases that we cited, particularly the Bell case and others, there are cases where on writs of mandamus, other extraordinary remedies, before the hearing proceeds, counsel represents to the panel that we cannot meet our burden of proof. Not any other reason, but they can't meet their burden of proof. Because of that, this court has always interpreted that as being a dismissal with prejudice. The difficult thing here is relator is never asked or expected to explain what happened, why you cannot proceed further. Is there new evidence that made you wait 1 year before you re-prosecuted this case? Is there some extraordinary reason? There was not. Because even in the second hearing, or the only hearing, but the second scheduled hearing, the owner of the property still never appeared, and the record there says they did not want to prosecute. I say all that, and I would get to the fact that when they presented this matter, we later did not present it. I don't think there was any dispute that sermon had to any discipline is serious. But insofar as the recommended discipline of this particular lawyer was concerned, all of the factors were mitigating. There was nothing really aggravating. I hesitate to use the term de minimis. I think it's inconsistent with discipline, but on the facts, it's hard to imagine anything either simpler to prosecute or which stretches whether or not this is a disciplinable offense. I've conceded that we want to focus on the procedural aspects of this case because I don't think the court wants to do fact-finding, but still the matter still presents itself. There was no voluntary 41A notice of dismissal ever filed. There was a representation from relator that he could not carry the burden of proof. There was a statement from the hearing officer that if you don't proceed, this matter is going to be dismissed. Only after that statement from the hearing officer did relator at the last moment file this document voluntary entry of dismissal.
Okay, let's stay with your procedural argument because that's the one you're emphasizing.
That's correct.
I think I understood you to say that the 41 dismissal, because it doesn't say without prejudice, is with prejudice.
It is. A dismissal.
It is? That's not the way I ever remember that.
Well, I think a dismissal. Well, I cited a couple cases, the Lavella case in there. It's my understanding that a dismissal pursuant to Rule 41 for failure to carry burden, and where the hearing officer is determined, or is that representation, we're talking to this court, there's a representation for the later. We cannot carry this burden of proof.
Yeah, but this is clearly a dismissal under 41A2, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
This is clearly a dismissal under 41A2 by the court.
That really was problemsome. The panel has indicated that this matter was not dismissed the way the panel, pursuant to the panel's entry, but rather on a voluntary dismissal by relator. Under 41A, you can do that. You can file a voluntary notice. It was either captioned that way or awarded that way.
Now, wait a minute. You get a 41 dismissal either by the plaintiff, by stipulation, or by the court.
That is correct.
Isn't that right?
That is correct.
What does it say anything about relator? What does it say anything about?
I think a party can file a 41A notice of dismissal. The matter can be dismissed by the panel.
Okay, so they dismissed it under 41A.
Well, that's the complication. I'm not trying to be difficult.
Yeah, I think you are, Mr. Prabhu, and that's unusual for you, and I want to get the because I sure don't want anything written that says that 41A dismissal under any of these circumstances is with prejudice when the rule says it's without prejudice.
I think what you have in front of you is an executed document signed by the hearing panel, the first hearing panel.
That's the court.
That's the court.
Okay.
But maybe I have read everything wrong so far, but as I understand it, the second panel's ruling on our 12B6 motion was to say that no, that this was a voluntary dismissal, notice of dismissal by the relator. That's what I've always understood.
Okay, so it's a voluntary dismissal by relator. That's what the second panel says. You're saying the first panel didn't say it was a voluntary dismissal by relator?
The first panel did not accept the voluntary notice presented.
But they filed it saying it is dismissed.
They filed their own?
Their own, saying it's dismissed. And you're saying that, ergo, somehow becomes with prejudice.
When, I think the cases say that, when it's dismissed like that voluntarily, because the lawyer comes to a hearing and everyone's prepared to go, the hearing officer has said that if you don't proceed, this is going to be with prejudice, that dismissal operates as a dismissal of prejudice. That's my clear understanding. The injury here does not say without prejudice.
Well, maybe, no, I know that. Doesn't have to. Every entry like this is automatically without prejudice. Certainly under Civil Rule 41A, 1 and 2 it always has been. And I think probably even under B, where it's failure to prosecute. The problem is we got the parties reversed here, who's making the motion to dismiss, but...
Yeah, this is clearly not a notice of dismissal in 41A1. It's not that.
Your argument is that the first dismissal was not based upon the relator's or the party's request to dismiss. It was based upon the fact that the party relator said, we can't get to Toledo. We can't get our police officers, who are our witnesses, to come to Toledo. And... Ray Ash, who's the chair, said in effect that, okay, you don't have any evidence. So we dismiss your case. And your argument, I guess, is that that's the same as if nobody had requested it, neither party had requested dismissal, but they don't show up. They're not able to show up, so there's a dismissal. And since it did not say without prejudice, it's with prejudice. It's as if the matter had been heard.
Not exactly like that. A lot of this is not getting into the record, and I hesitate to say anything, but what the court did was they said the matter was sent to Toledo. We later requested us, do you care if we request the chair? You said no, we'll join with you. The chair then said that this matter is going to be heard, it's going to be heard tomorrow. Can you make your case? Conference call, we were all on it. Mr. McGavin says no. We're going to be there, and this was on the conference call. He said, well, we're not. And the panel said, well, we're dismissed. That is the way I recall the procedure happening. And then there's been a timely request, explanation, and it's close to, well, it's a different forum that is then trying to indicate to the court what the first panel did, rather than trying to go for 60B and reform that entry to make it more accurate. If this in fact wasn't what it said it was, relator never tried to reform it. Just later goes to a separate hearing panel and this court, without giving the original panel an opportunity to clarify its order, says that, hey, this is just a voluntary 41A notice of dismissal, and it clearly is not that. The question is, they're trying to be flipped. We have battling injuries with no attempt to reform them.
Okay, you want to construe the first entry as a dismissal by the court on the merits?
I do, because they indicate that they can't hear it.
So then you wouldn't have to have with prejudice or without prejudice. If it's on the merits, it's found not to have had substance.
One distinction that you've always made in these cases, and I think the case that I cited to you is with notice, is when the hearing officer gives the parties notice that it's going to proceed forward, then your failure to proceed under those circumstances may operate as a bar.
I was going to suggest that they didn't give notice, but you just told us about a telephone call where they were told they were going to,
yes,
the plaintiff in this case was told was going to be dismissed.
It was a conference call. Yeah. McGavin was on the other end of it. That's what the chairman told us, where we operate. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Ballou. Mr. McAdams.
Good morning, Your Honor. My name is Ernest McAdams, Jr. I am the attorney for the Cincinnati Bar Association. I think there's some more about this procedural posture that you need to understand. First off, all of us were under the impression that we were coming to Columbus for a hearing. Less than a week, maybe 3 or 4 days prior to the hearing date, we are told we're going to Toledo. We have Cincinnati police officers who have to get permission to travel. They have received permission to travel to Columbus. They have not received permission to travel to Toledo. As soon as all of us received notice that the hearing was being moved to Toledo, we all tried to continue the case because it was inconvenient for all of us. And when I say we all, I mean Mr. Ballou also. We all tried to get that case continued at that time. It was only after the judge said, I'm not going to continue it, that we have a conference call where the judge was just downright rude and said, I'm not going to continue.
We're talking about the chair of the panel. Mr. Ash, apparently, who lives in Toledo. Is that
correct.
What we have going on here? Okay.
Says, I don't care if it's inconvenient for you to drive to Toledo at the last minute. You're going to have to come to Toledo, and that's why we said we're going to dismiss the case. The case was not dismissed with prejudice. It was just dismissed before there was any type of a hearing. That's why there was no need to reform anything. The entry says what it says, and it doesn't say that it's with prejudice.
Counsel, that's a bit different than Mr. Berlew just recalled it. I mean, and it makes a difference, doesn't it, if under the civil rules, if the chair of the panel said, I am going to dismiss it, versus you're saying you were going to dismiss it. You as the relator.
I don't recall the chair saying that she was going to dismiss it. The last conversation that we had with her, there was still time. She's 2 days away. We can still drive to Toledo. But we're having this conversation. We're telling her that it's inconvenient for us to go. I don't recall her saying, if you don't come, I'm going to dismiss it. Or if you tell me you can't come, I'm going to dismiss it.
And we don't have a record of it anyway.
There's no record of that.
But what we don't then have is a record of any notice before dismissal. I guess we don't have any record under the civil rules. If before a case is dismissed on the merits, there has to be notice.
Correct.
And is there?
There is no notice that this was going to be dismissed on the merits.
And did the Cincinnati Bar then submit an entry or a notice of dismissal?
We submitted an entry of dismissal.
And the court did not, or the panel didn't accept your request to dismiss the case and just put their own entry on?
The court put their own entry on. I don't know why. I have my own feelings why the court did that, but it was, the entire situation was baffling to me. And
so you attempted to dismiss it before they took any action, and they rejected your attempt.
I don't say that they rejected it. I just say that she ignored it. It was bizarre. I had never seen anything like that.
Doesn't the plaintiff have a reasonable right to dismiss it?
Yes, and that's what we did. We dismissed it.
Or tried to.
And as far as the second hearing panel was concerned, we did that successfully. That's all I have.
Thank you, Mr. McAdams. Mr. Berlew, you've saved almost 2 minutes of your time.
Your Honor, two things. Mr. Reed, I think the language of the rule 41B says the dismissal is with prejudice unless otherwise stated. There was no, these conversations, I did not go to the leader because in our conference call, it was represented by the bar, we're not going to come. The judge says, well, I'm going to dismiss it. And is that a fact, panel chair, that you're going to dismiss it? Said, yeah. And then the relator indicates, well, we're not going to attend also. This is not in dispute. I might make a mistake.
I guess we would think, though, it wouldn't be maybe without, 41 is 41, but I guess we would think that if a panel hearing was set in Columbus and a week before that, there are two members live in Toledo, they decide we're going to move this to Toledo, and one of the parties says, gosh, we can't get to Toledo, that wouldn't be on the merits, that there would be, just looking at it from a fairness standpoint, that there would be a chance to have the hearing someplace where one of the parties is not so inconvenienced that, particularly with short notice, that they can't be there.
Two things. Number one, this document is not an entry, a voluntary notice of dismissal. It's not that. It's captured in a document of notice. It was incorrectly drafted to begin with. And secondly, there are witnesses. They could have deposed the witnesses. These people, on number one, they indicated as a police officer. Okay. Stood at the district one, is one block from my office, one block from the relator's office. We could have taken depositions.
In a week?
Well, we've all done it. We've all seen
yeah.
it.
Right, but it's a little difficult, isn't it, to get the council to agree and get the party, get the witnesses, their police officers, get them there. And there are two of them, aren't there? Were there two of them that were... Whatever. I mean, it seems to me that that's a little bit of a burden.
Even when they came to tell them Cincinnati, Father Robish did not attend even there. It was, a half a mile. from his residence. I mean, we're saying things, I did make a record, but the bottom line, common sense says, lawyers do not just not show at a hearing unless there's been notice from that hearing officer to do something.
But does that plaintiff, quote unquote, real later, have a right to dismiss their case before the hearing?
Yes, but they did. And
they filed a notice of dismissal, did they not?
That notice does not require a judge's signature. When I filed a notice, 41A notice, I filed notice that I'm dismissing this charge. When I filed an entry, I filed a document, which they filed, which requires the judge's signature to execute. The document which they proposed was an entry. It was declined by the hearing officer. I apologize. I think the facts are simple and complex.
Thank you, Mr. Ballou. The case is submitted. You will be advised of our opinion. The marshal will please adjourn court.
All rise.